Kiyan. What is this? Bhuva of the earth. Ayam. This. Shapita. Abated. Uru. Very great. Bhara. Burden. Yat. Which. Drona. Drona. Bhishma. Bhishma. Arjuna. Arjuna. Pima. Bhima. Mulai. With the help. Ashtadasha. 18. Okshahinika. Phalanxes of military strength. Please see Bhagavatam 1634. Matamshay. With my descendants. Oste. Are still there. Balam. Great strength. Dervishaham, unbearable. Yadunam, of the Yadu dynasty. Translation, in purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. After the end of the battle of Kurukshetra, the Lord said, "The abatement of the earth's great burden, 18 Okshahinis, has now been effected with the help of Drona, Bhishma, Arjuna, and Bhima. But what is this? There is still the great strength of the Yadu dynasty born of myself, which may be a more unbearable burden." Purport. It is a wrong theory that due to an increase in population, the world becomes overburdened, and therefore there are wars and other annihilating processes. The earth is never overburdened. The heaviest mountains and oceans on the face of the earth hold more living entities than there are human beings, and they are not overburdened. If a census were taken of all the living beings on the surface of the earth, certainly it would be found that the number of humans is not even 5% of the total number of human beings. If the birth rate of human beings is increasing, then the birth rate of other living beings is increasing proportionally. The birth rate of lower animals, beasts, aquatics, birds, etc., is far greater than that of the human beings. There is an adequate arrangement for food for all the living beings all over the earth by the order of the Supreme Lord, and he can arrange more and more if there is actually a disproportionate increase of living beings. Therefore, there is no question of an increase in population causing the burden. The earth became overburdened due to Dharma Glani, or irregular discharge of the Lord's desire. The Lord appeared on the earth to curb the increase in miscreants and not the increase in population, as is wrongly put forward by the mundane economists. When Lord Krishna appeared, there had been a sufficient increase in miscreants who had violated the desire of the Lord. The material creation is meant for fulfilling the desire of the Lord, and his desire is that the conditioned souls who are unfit to enter into the kingdom of God have a chance to improve their conditions for entering. The entire process of cosmic arrangement is intended just to give a chance to the conditioned souls to enter the kingdom of God, and there is an adequate arrangement for their maintenance by the nature of the Lord. Therefore, although there may be a great increase in population on the surface of the earth, if the people are exactly in line with God consciousness and are not miscreants, such a burden of the earth is a source of pleasure for her. There are two kinds of burdens. There is the burden of the beast and the burden of love. The burden of the beast is unbearable, but the burden of love is the source of pleasure. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti describes the burden of love very practically. He says that the burden of the husband on the young wife, the burden of the child on the lap of the mother, get this ball. Maybe don't give her a ball. Give her just toys or something like that. That might be too much. Give to her. She's okay, but maybe a ball might be a bit too distracting. The burden of the child on the lap of the mother and the burden of wealth on the businessman, although actually burdens from the viewpoint of heaviness, are sources of pleasure. And in the absence of such burdensome objects, one may feel the burden of separation, which is heavier to bear than the actual burden of love. When Lord Krishna referred to the burden of the Yadu dynasty on the earth, he referred to something different than the burden of the beast. The large numbers of family members born of Lord Krishna counted to some millions and were certainly a great increase in the population of the earth, but because all of them were expansions of the Lord himself, by his transcendental plenary expansion, they were a source of great pleasure for the earth. When the Lord referred to them in connection with the burden of the earth, he had in mind their imminent disappearance from the earth. All the members of the family of Lord Krishna were incarnations of different demigods, and they were to disappear from the surface of the earth along with the Lord. When he referred to the unbearable heaviness on the earth in connection with the Yadu dynasty, he was referring to the burden of their separation. Srila Jiva Goswami confirms this influence. Amagyan Tibadandasya Ganunjana Shalakaya Chakshurin Munitam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swabhadantikam Vancha Kaupata Rubhyascha Kripasandubi Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadaha Shivasadi Gaura Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So Prabhupada says that the earth cannot be overburdened by population. It means that we cannot have too many people on the earth. Presently, there are 7 billion human beings. But if you add up the total land area of the earth, the surface of the earth, each one of us, 7 billion of us, if you have 7 billion square miles or kilometers, each one of us has about a square kilometer each on the surface. So there's not an overburden. It's not that there are too many people. I mean, you can take out the deserts and you can take out the ice areas, the Antarctica and the Arctic, but even still, there's plenty of room. Because like if you go to India, you know, I've never been to China. China is the most populated country on the earth. I've been to India, which is smaller than China. And it's the second most populated country on the earth. But, I mean, besides the cities, where everyone comes and there's, you know, 17 million people in one place. But if you go out, I mean, there's sometimes you don't see anyone. For kilometers. So it's not like there isn't an overpopulation. So what's the problem? Because the United Nations are concerned that there's not enough food for everyone. So Prabhupada is mentioning in the second paragraph, the problem is not the how many people there are, the problem is the way we're living. That is the defect. And Prabhupada said, the burden, the earth doesn't have a burden when there's too many people on it. She doesn't feel burdened. Oh, there's too many people, I can't feed everyone. She doesn't feel like that. As Prabhupada said, that's the burden of love. She likes to feed everyone. There are 7 mothers, according to the Vedas. Who are the 7 mothers? Which one? The cow. Very good. The
guru's wife.
The guru's wife.
The earth.
The earth. The king's wife.
The nurse.
The nurse. 2 more. Your natural mother. 1 more. Brahmana's wife, yeah. So our natural mother, the wife of the guru, the king, the brahmana, the datri, which means the nurse, wet nurse. The earth and the cow. So the earth is our mother. So she wants to look after us. She doesn't, like a mother, it may be a lot of work, but she does not mind. The mother is burdened, as Prabhupada says here in the purport. The mother is burdened. It's a burden to have a child. And if you've had a child, if you're a mother, it's a great burden. It's a lot of work. It's an incredible amount of sacrifice. But the mother does not mind, because there's so much love there for the child. So even though it's a great amount of sacrifice, but she does it with pleasure. So the earth, even though there's so many of us on the earth, but for her it's no problem. She likes it. Oh, I will look after everyone. I will feed everyone. There is adequate there. But so what is the problem? The problem is on how many of us are on the planet. I think according to some statistics, we can have 6 times more the population of the earth. We can have, at the moment, 7 billion of us, right? So what's 6 times more? 6, 7 is what, 30? 42. Sorry. My brain is running slow. 42. So it's 40 billion of us on the earth and can be sustained. There's not a problem there for the earth. She can sustain. The defect is the irregular way that we live. And as Prabhupada says there, that is her burden. And that's why she had to cleanse previously. Or you could say Krishna had to cleanse 5,000 years ago. Because too many demons on the earth, that's a burden. The mother doesn't mind having many children. But if the children are bad, then that's a problem. Then she asked her, what did she do? Right? Anyone here from India? Okay. So what does the mother do if you're not good? She will come. Like that. So normally she does not mind. She's very loving. Mother is loving. But if all the children are nonsense, so that's what she does. She's happy to have many of us, but when we start misbehaving, we don't live properly, then she says, famine, drought, flood, fire, all these problems come. That's not natural. It's not natural. It says, if you go to Canto 9, it says that when Lord Ramachandra was on the earth, during his reign, 10,000 years, he was ruling the earth, or may have even been more, you may have said. For his rule of the earth, every day was perfect, and it only rained at night time. So everyone went to sleep. It rained. Everything was nice. And then during the day, everything was perfect. Weather was perfect. Hands up if you would like to live like that. But Kali Yuga, you won't find that. Especially in Melbourne, you won't find that. But that's how it was previously. Why? Because everything was ordered. Because the citizens were pious. So there is no problem for her to look after everyone. But the problem is that she feels overburdened because people aren't acting properly. Now, what is the main defect on the earth? Because we see at the moment there are problems. Because the United Nations and the World Health Organization, they're trying to work out how we feed everyone. They have united, like last week, the week before, they had emergency United Nations summit in New York about climate change. Does anyone know about that? Hands up, have you heard about that? Okay, some. The devotees don't know about stuff. You know, not last Sunday, but the Sunday before, there was a rally in Melbourne. 30,000 people came. Right? Most devotees didn't even know. We have to understand there's a problem at the moment. There is a problem on the earth. And it is climate change. It is the problem. It's not a joke. You know, that's why I keep saying to everyone, stop using these paper plates. You know, and everyone's like, oh. You go out to breakfast this morning, after, okay, and everyone will have paper plates, and everyone's like, oh, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. You know, like that. You know, we're all devotees, these things don't affect us. Of course these things affect us. We're living on this planet, and we're not looking after the planet. Every time you use one of those paper plates, right, you're just, basically you're cutting down a tree. Where do you think the paper plate comes from? It comes from coals. People don't think, and devotees don't think. Why don't devotees think? Because they're coming from the same background as everyone else. Right? And when you come from the demoniac background, even though you enter in devotional service, but still, the mentality is not correct. Don't know how to look after the earth. One time, Prabhupada was in Mayapur, and they were leading Mangalati. Prabhupada was upstairs and downstairs on the ground floor. They're having Mangalati. And there's a microphone hanging from the roof, and the, you know, they're leading Mangalati, you know. Samsara Dhavana. Like that. So, you know, Mangalati, transcendental sound vibration. But Prabhupada, because, you know, it was like that. You know, in India they turn everything up too much. India's got some serious problems. It has. It's got serious problems. There's problems in India. India's not normal. It's not normal in a lot of ways. It's not normal. It's very disconnected from what it should be. Very disconnected, the way it is. So, you know, it's Mangalati. The sound is transcendental, right? That. But, you know, because they were blasting and the noise was like, and Prabhupada upstairs translating. He didn't go to Mangalati, Prabhupada translated. And Prabhupada called his servant and he said, tell them to stop using the microphone. Prabhupada said, it is demoniac. Right? So they went downstairs, you know, grabbed the microphone. Right, and said, turn it down or stop, you know, like, probably, it's demoniac. You know, this sound in India, like, you know, every time loudspeakers, you know, it's demoniac. That's not normal. Yeah, and that's why India's so like it is. Everyone's like, oh, passionate. India's just like Rajagun. Right? Everyone's passionate, and, and they've got all these problems in India. It's good. Everyone just needs to, hey, just calm down. Just relax a little bit. Get back in the sattva guna. So, because we come from a demoniac background, we still act like demons, even though we're devotees. But we act like demons. Like, I tell the devotee, I've been telling them for, you know, my whole life, stop using those paper plates, you know, because it is demoniac. And you say, oh, I'm just having prasadam. No, but it's demoniac. Because there's no necessity to use that paper. You've just cut down a tree. And you're supporting climate change. That's what you're doing, effectively. You're supporting the change. It is the problem on the earth at the moment. You'll see. It is the problem. Even though everyone, you know, people are not taking it seriously yet, but it's a serious problem. It's not a small problem. It's a serious problem. It says in the Bhagavatam, in the 12th canto, at the end of the yuga, right, 427,000 years from now, you can't see the sun anymore. It says there's no rain. It says there's no trees. Right? There's no food. And everyone is a cannibal. Everyone eats each other because that's all there is to eat. And everyone eats their children. You have children just so you've got something to eat. Right? That's how Kali Yuga finishes. Right? And it's a direct result of the way we're living now. Right? We're creating Kali Yuga. We're a part of it. Right? So as devotees, it's not that we just chant Hare Krishna. You think that will solve everything? That's not even solving the problems in your life. You're chanting Hare Krishna, and you still, all the devotees, every time I come to Melbourne, everyone tells me, I've got this problem, I've got that problem, I've got that problem. You're all chanting, it's not solving that. So how do you think it's going to solve all the earth's problems? When you chant Hare Krishna, what do you get? You get buddhi. You get intelligence. The intelligence to discriminate between right and wrong. That is the effect, to live properly on this earth. We have a responsibility to this person who we're standing upon, which is Mother Bhumi. You know, there are prayers when we wake up in the morning, right? There are prayers to Mother Earth. Or before we do deity worship, we pray to Mother Earth. I'm standing on you, I'm sitting on you. But devotees don't think like that. She's my mother. But that should be our mentality. We have to start respecting the mother. We should be the leaders of the environmental change, like that. So, there's no problem with the overburden. The problem is the way we live. Now, what is the main problem with the modern society, the way they live? What's that?
Exploitation.
Yeah, exploitation.
Greed.
Greed, yeah. In what form is it taken? What's the main problem?
The destruction of the same land and left in the life.
Yeah, destruction of the body. But what's the main problem? What's that? Yeah, it's our diet. That's the main problem. It's the Earth's diet. It's not sustainable. The United Nations, the World Health Organization, they're both saying we cannot sustain the population growth of the planet with a meat-based diet. They say it, but they keep slaughtering the animals. Australia is slaughtering more animals than ever before. Right? If you look at Australian landmass, right, 50% of Australia's landmass is for what? Yeah, livestock. Right? It's for animals which are being slaughtered. 50%. Right? Australia, at this point in history, at the moment, it is the most opulent place to live on the earth. It is like Swagaloka. You know, it's just so nice, everything's so nice. But it will change. Drastically, it will change. Because this is a very impious place. So much animal slaughter, right, in this environment, this country. So, unless that changes, the earth, she cannot tolerate that. She cannot tolerate the exploitation of the citizens. And Prabhupada would always say this. You know, whenever you see Prabhupada preaching to Western people, to priests and different leaders and things like that, Prabhupada, this is the point. Why do you kill the animal? Right? And he just sticks on this point. You see the famous conversation, where he's having with the cardinal in France. You ever seen that one? Yeah, famous, Prabhupada's here. And Prabhupada's there, and they're talking, and you see Prabhupada's leg going like this. Yeah, Prabhupada's frustrated. He's going. And the guy, and Prabhupada says, why do you kill the animal? It says in your Bible, thou shalt not kill. And then the priest says, that is not very important. And then he changes the subject, and Prabhupada said, no. And Prabhupada keeps bringing it back. And Prabhupada, 15 minutes, he won't even let him go off the track. He keeps trying to change it. Prabhupada just keeps bringing it back. Prabhupada said, when I preach, it is like a karate fighter. Right? When you do karate, right? Prabhupada says, you find the weak spot and you just kick it and you kick it and you kick it until they go down. Right? That's how you win a fight. Right? You find where they're weak and you just keep hitting them there until they just drop on the ground. And Prabhupada said, that is how we preach. Right? We just find their weak spot and we just hit them and hit them and hit them until they go down. So this is what Prabhupada would always, why are you killing the animal? Why are you killing the animal? And it's interesting, that particular cardinal, that French cardinal, you see Prabhupada, he's having that lecture. And he keeps saying to Prabhupada, oh no, it's not so important that you should not kill the animal. A week after that interview with Prabhupada, he was found dead in a prostitute's bed in France. So this is the way it is these in Kali Yuga. The priest cannot be a priest. He's supposed to be a Brahmin. But he's attached to illicit sex and intoxication and eating meat, maybe even gambling. So then where is the purity? So Prabhupada was coming uncompromising. Prabhupada would come in an uncompromising way. Why are you eating the animal? Just like he was speaking at, I think it was San Francisco or Los Angeles, San Francisco, I think. After the Ratha Yatra, Prabhupada was sitting in, I think it was Golden Gate Park. He's sitting there on the Ratha cart giving the lecture. And one hippie, there's all hippies in there. Okay? And one hippie stood up and said, I want to have illicit sex. I want to have free sex. Prabhupada said, what is that? I want to have free sex. And Prabhupada said, yes, you can have, but you will become an animal. That is the destination. Okay, you can do all these things. You can eat the meat, you can have the intoxication, you can have the illicit sex, that's fine. But you will become an animal in your next life. So if that's what you want, then okay, go and do it. So that is the burden that the earth cannot handle. She cannot handle this. So the Hare Krishna movement, Prabhupada says, is meant to create a revolution. Which means we have to change the earth. It's not just by chanting Hare Krishna, it's by the way we live. It doesn't make sense. If people read our books, we distribute books on the street, right? We distribute prasadam, we chant the holy name, we invite people to come, and then people come, right? And they see all the devotees are eating paper plates. Does that make sense? Where's the sense? Where's the logic? And now the devotees are starting to, Cielo is starting to do composting. How long did it take the Hare Krishna movement to work that one out? That we should compost things. We should do something with our waste instead of throwing it away. Right? This is preaching. Right? It's not just about chanting Hare Krishna. You can tell the whole world, chant Hare Krishna, but that's not going to solve everything. Right? You chant Hare Krishna with the right mentality, how you live on the earth. That's what's being said here. There's a burden on the earth. Right? And we're part of that burden. I see devotees all the time. Devotees, they waste everything. Oh, it's broken, just throw it out. That's the problem with our society, disposable society. Oh, it's broken, just throw it out, get a new one. No, fix it. You know, Prabhupada was getting massaged. I think it was Hari Sori Prabhu or Shruti Kirti Prabhu, one of them. They were massaging Prabhupada. Prabhupada had every day's massage. So Prabhupada had the mustard oil. And Prabhupada had Prabhupada, he had the same things from like 1966 to 1977. The 12 years, he'd have the same briefcase. Right? He wouldn't change his briefcase. Like, you know, devotees got to change their briefcase and change their watch and change their shoes and change their jacket. And like, you know, Prabhupada had the same thing all the time. Right? Same cooker. If you go to Vrindavan, you see his museum. Right? Same things that he used when he arrived in America. He was using the same. Prabhupada was very simple in the way he lived. He's very environmentally conscious. So he was having a massage, and he had his bottle of mustard oil, and it was there, and it was open, and it was there, and Shruti Kirti or Hari Sori Prabhu were on the side. And Prabhupada said, put the lid on, otherwise you'll knock it over. But they just kept massaging Prabhupada. They didn't listen to Prabhupada. Then after 10 minutes, one of them knocked the bottle over, and it went on the floor. So what did Prabhupada do? Right? He looked in and said, I told you. I told you, put the lid on, right? So Prabhupada starts scraping up the mustard oil and putting it back into the bottle. Right? Prabhupada was wealthy. He was rich. He could just say, I'll just buy another bottle of mustard oil. No, he picked up the mustard oil, the earth's energy, and put it back into the bottle. Right? That was Prabhupada. He was a conservationist. He conserved energy, the earth's resources. He understood things like that. Right? That's how we should be living. These days, devotees waste everything. Throw this, throw that, get this, that. That's not environmental consciousness. Prabhupada did not live like that. So the Hare Krishna movement has to show this example. Simple living, high thinking. What's the motto of modern society? Right? High living, simple thinking. Don't think too much. Just do it because it feels good. Right? And Hare Krishna devotees are like that as well. Just do it because it feels good. That is not our philosophy, actually. It's not our motto. So here, then in the third paragraph, it says that the actual burden of the earth, because it says the Yadu dynasty has become a burden. So how could the Yadu dynasty be a burden? Because they're Krishna's family members. Prabhupada says in the purport, they're demigods. The demigods entered. Right? They saw Krishna was about to appear. If you go to the beginning of the 10th canto, the Krishna book, if you see that very first chapter, right, the demigods approach Brahma. Right, everyone goes to Brahma. And they say to Lord Brahma, there's a problem. And what is the problem? Too many demons on the earth. Same as now, too many demons on the earth. So Brahma goes to Svetadvip, which means there's a planet within our solar system, which is a spiritual planet, where Shiradakshai Vishnu lives on the ocean of milk. So they all go to that planet, and Lord Brahma, he petitions, they chant Purusha Shukta, and they all petition the Lord, please you appear. And then within the heart, Brahma gets Hridaya, means he gets a transmission or a message within the consciousness. And the Lord said, I will appear very soon, all of you take birth in the Yadu dynasty to assist me. So, the Yadu dynasty, they are actually eternal associates. It describes that whenever the eternal associates appear, demigods and so forth, they enter into they kind of merge into the eternal associates. So it's like there's two personalities within the same personality. It also describes that Devaki and Vasudev, who are Krishna's parents in this incarnation, in the previous life, they were Prishni and Sutapa, which were sages and the wife of a sage. They merged into the original Vasudeva and Devaki, and they also had the opportunity to be the parents of Krishna. How does all this take place? Right? How do you get your head around this? Right? One person, there's like three or four personalities. Sometimes it says like that. It says like Prahlad Maharaj and all these personalities enter one person. That one person serving Krishna. It's four people inside that one person. How do you reconcile this one? How do you understand this? Why did you join this movement? We're not a normal movement. You have to understand, we're not normal. If I go and start saying this right now on public television, Ah, yeah, in our philosophy, four people merge into everyone's like, okay, it's really, that's great. This is our philosophy, all these things. How does it happen? By achincha shakti. Achincha means inconceivable. How does Krishna do it? Who knows how he does it? I can't work it out. You get to a point with Krishna where you just fold your hands and you just say, whatever you are, you are. I serve you because I don't understand. There's a point where you just, it's too much. It just gets to a point. He's too powerful. How do you reconcile everything? He's everywhere, but he's there simultaneously. How do you understand that? Brahma couldn't understand it. Right? Brahma came, he's there, he's there, he's there. It's like, and then suddenly he's everywhere. It's like, how do you understand what he is? So Prabhupada says, don't get too concerned with that. Just serve him. It's a lot easier. Try to work him out, it'll be very difficult for you. Jnanis. Vedeshu dullabam, adullabam, atma bhakto. Atma bhakto means with bhakti you can understand to some degree. Vedeshu dullabam, just by studying jnana, you'll never work it out. It's too complicated. So the demigods, they were told, come and enter onto the earth in the Yadu dynasty. So now it's saying that the Yadu dynasty has become a burden. What is the burden? What is the burden of the Yadu dynasty? That soon they will leave. So how does the mother feel when the child leaves home? Right? It's a burden. Right? She cannot handle it. The child is leaving. Just like you'll see in the pastimes of Krishna with Mother Yashoda, right? Krishna is trying to go out with the cows every morning. Right? About 8:30 in the morning, so it's coming up soon. Krishna leaves and he goes out with the cows. So Mother Yashoda, she follows him. She says, do you have enough to eat? And Krishna just turns around and says, it's okay. He said, we've got enough food. You've already made picnic packs, right? You're going to be sending people out all day anyway. With more food. So it's okay. Please just go back. Right? And he walks under the five steps and she says, are you wearing enough clothes? Are you warm enough? And he says, I'm okay. Everything's okay. He said, please just go back. We're okay. We're okay. We just want to go and play now. Right? And walks another five steps. You haven't got shoes on. Right? And then Krishna turns around and says, I don't wear shoes. One time she said to him, Mother Yashoda said, I want you to wear shoes. Krishna said, I will wear shoes if all of my cows wear shoes. Nanda Maharaj has 900,000 cows. 900,000 cows. That's just Nanda Maharaj, that's not his brothers. 900,000 cows. Right? Krishna knows the name of every cow. Right? So Krishna says, I will wear shoes if my cows wear shoes. And Mother Yashoda said, okay, then you don't have to wear shoes. Right? First time that he went out, which is on Gopashtami. Actually, it's before that. It's on the Gopashtami is when he became Lord of the Cows. He became Gopal or Govinda, which is in the second half of Kartik. Second Ashtami in Kartik. So then, on the second Ashtami, that's when he becomes from Vatsapal, when he looks after the calves, he becomes Gopal when he takes the calf. But when he was Vatsapal, when he first started to go out, the cows knew the next morning he was going out for the first time in Vrindavan through the fields, through the forest, to look after the calves and the cows. And Vrindavan, there's many stones on the ground and like that. So if you go to Vrindavan now, we have Braj Raj, which means the dust of Vrindavan. It's like talcum powder. Anyone been to Vrindavan? You've seen that? It's like the dust is like talcum powder. It's very fine dust all over Braj. So what happened when they knew Krishna was going the next day? The cows went out in the middle of the night and they stampeded all over Braj and broke all the little stones down into powder. So that when Krishna walked out the next day, his feet would just be walking on soft, soft powder, dust. That's why Braj has all that dust all through it. So, This is the burden of love. This is what the earth is feeling. I cannot be separated from the Yaddo dynasty. I don't want the eternal associates to disappear. I don't want Krishna to leave. Because if Krishna leaves, I will not have any pastimes with him. So that is her feeling. She doesn't mind how many people. Because we hear these days, they say overpopulation, overpopulation. But Prabhupada would always challenge that. Where's the overpopulation? We can feed everyone. We just have to change our diet. No, we can't feed everyone if it's based on an animal-based diet. Right? The amount of animals we slaughter every year. No, we can't sustain. But if we stop killing the animals and start eating grains and vegetables, then yeah, we can sustain everyone. No problem. Many, many more. 40 billion people. No problem. And no one will feel hunger. No? The only reason people are feeling hunger is because of impiety. Because they're killing the animals, then the humans will also feel hunger. Right? If you take a life, your life will also be disturbed. You break the law of God. And we see, I know in my own life, when I break the law of God, everything becomes turbulent. When I follow the law of God, everything becomes peaceful. That is the system. So tomorrow is a very special day. What is tomorrow? Kartik Brat. Vrata. What does Vrata mean? Vow. Just like when you take initiation, what do? You take vow. Vrat. Vrat means, I will do it. In Kali Yuga, it's recommended we don't take Vratas so much. It's not easy for people to follow. Even when devotees get initiated, not hard for them to follow their vows for their whole lives. So vrats are very powerful things. But tomorrow we're supposed to take vrat, Kartik Brat. So Prabhupada said every day we have to offer deepa to Radha Damodar, to Yashoda Damodar. You have to offer candle. Every day you have to offer for Kartik. That's your brat. Prabhupada said two things devotees in ISKCON must do. Every day chant the Damodar Ashtika, which we'll start singing tomorrow. And every day we must offer the deepa. Now on top of that, you can do more if you want. So one brat you can take is every day I will come to Mangalati for a month. Because some devotees, they say, I struggle with my sadhana. Okay, if you struggle with your sadhana, then for 1 month, go to Mangalati every day and see if you're still struggling at the end of it. And actually, it's interesting. They say if you want to develop good habits, do something for a month. So take a vow. I'll go to Mangalati every day for a month. I'll adjust my life, my time. The rest of the year I make compromises, but this month I will be strict. Okay? Every day chant more rounds. Even if you chant one extra round a day, you will see. Because in Kartik it says that whatever bhakti you do, your devotion, you get thousands of times more benefit for doing it. So you offer one candle, but effectively you're offering thousands of candles for the pleasure of Krishna. You chant one round, effectively you're chanting thousands of rounds. So you get so much benefit. So in this Kartik Vrat, we should increase our bhakti. Many things you can do. Many. There's many vrats you can take. Chant Ashtikas. Damodar Ashtika, Guru Ashtika, Shad Goswami Ashtika, Brinda Devi Ashtika. So many Ashtikas are there written by. So you can chant so many things. We can take vows to decrease our eating. One vow I took was 1993. No sweets for a month. And no deep fried things for 1 month. Right? It nearly killed me. But but we did it. We did it. Nothing sweet for a month. No deep fried for a month. A good vow. But only take vows that you can do. Don't take vows that you can't do. Only take vows that you can. But just do. But if you just do a little more in Kartik, you get so much more benefit. Why? Because Kartik mass, right? The presiding deity is Damodar, but the presiding deity is also Radha. It is Srimati Radharani herself. So whatever bhakti you do in Kartik, you get thousands of times more benefit because Radha is personally giving you the blessings, the benefit. So the point is increase your bhakti like that. Do more. No? Or some devotees, I know Burujan Prabhu, sometimes he reads one chapter of Krishna book every day. That's his Kartik vow. Every day I'll read one chapter of Krishna book. Or another very good vrat, which some devotees do, I know devotees do. I will not criticize any Vaishnava for 1 month. See if you can last 10 minutes. It's actually not easy. It's only when you start doing it that you realize how difficult it is. But these are very powerful vrats. Or every day I will serve prasad to the devotees. So many vrats, so many things you can take. But the point is, do more in Kartik. Increase your bhakti. Do more for Krishna. Or I remember a couple of years ago, I think Harinam Ananda Prabhu, he took the vow, I will do Harinam every day. So I think even a couple of times he went down to St. Kilda, there's only two other people, like three of them. But every day he said, I will do Harinam. So he went, only three of them, they went down to St. Kilda, 1 hour, just went around St. Kilda, did Harinam, came back. Or Jainitai Prabhu, I remember a few years ago, he took the vow, I will distribute books every day. So every day he went on book distribution, even if it was just half an hour, but every day for Kartik. So the point is, do something. Increase your bhakti. Don't waste the opportunity. You can change your whole life in Kartik. If you feel like you're struggling in Krishna consciousness, hands up if you feel like you're struggling in Krishna consciousness. Oh, God. I don't even know why I come here anymore. All right, because we all struggle. Kali Yuga is not easy. Kali Yuga is difficult, actually. It's an ocean of faults. It's difficult to make it back. Kali Yuga is so... So in Kartik, you can change your whole bhakti, your whole devotional life around. Right? Beginning of Kartik, I've seen sometimes I go into Kartik, right? I'm so like worn down. Right? And by the end of Kartik, so enlivened. Because right? I just took a vow for 1 month, I will do extra service for Krishna. So the point is, do something. That's the point. Turn your spiritual life around. You all say you're feeling unenthused, or you're struggling. So turn it around. 1 month you can turn the whole thing around. Srila Prabhupada said the whole spiritual world is in the four walls of this temple. So take a vow. For 1 month I won't leave this temple. Except to preach. Take that vow. I won't leave. My good friend Atul Krishna Prabhu, when he joined, he told me he didn't leave the temple, like the walls, the four walls of the compound. He didn't go outside the temple for 6 months when he joined. 6 months, didn't even walk outside for 6 months. He joined up and his service was in the kitchen washing the pots and doing so. He didn't walk out for 6 months. And look how advanced he is now as a devotee. So take some vows for Krishna. Purify. And at the end of Kartik, you'll feel ecstatic. And then when I say, are you struggling? No one will put their hand up. You can change around. Bhakti is very powerful. Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says bhakti is like an arrow. It shoots. It just goes through. Like an arrow just goes straight through something. And it says when Arjuna used to fire Gandiva, he used to pick up the bow, so the arrow would go straight for 1 mile. Before it would even begin to go down. So whatever's in front of it would just go straight through. So bhakti, Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says bhakti is like that. It's like an arrow. Just goes. So if you get into devotional service, it will take you. So we'll stop here and we'll see if there's any questions or comments on what we have discussed. Any other questions? Okay. So we'll see you at Goa Puja on Sunday. Yes. Hands up if you're coming for Goa Puja. Good. Most of us are coming. Good. It will be ecstatic. It will be ecstatic. Hopefully the weather's nice. And we'll worship Mother Cow. We'll get so much benefit. Worship Mother Cow in Kartik. So much benefit. Unlimited benefit. Keshava Prabhu is going to bring his flute. Because the cows like to hear the flute. He's going to bring his flute. So we're going to do a nice seva for the cows. Those very special cows at Hare Krishna Valley. Okay. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.